From the neon lights of the club to the harsh buzzing lights of the office, don't let the wear show on your face. Just swipe Maybelline Instant Eraser Concealer to erase the night before, wherever that happens to be. Instantly cover dark circles and under eye bags for a brighter, more awake look. This do-it-all formula also contours, corrects, and highlights, all while staying lightweight, crease-resistant, and smooth. It may be the world's greatest eraser. Find your shade of Instant Eraser Concealer at your local retailer.
What's up, baby? It's Bretzky, and I'm here to tell you that SpinQuest.com is giving out free sweeps coins. All you gotta do is purchase a $10 coin pack, and guess what? They're gonna give you the coins from a $30 coin pack. That lets you play all your favorite games like Blackjack, Wanted, Dead or Wild, and we're talking real cash prizes, baby. SpinQuest.com.
SpinQuest is a free-to-play social casino. Void where prohibited. Visit SpinQuest.com for more details.
Hi, it's Tony Brisky from Real Ghost Stories Online. Every single day, Jenny and myself do our best to try and create the best possible show for you. But it's not free to do that. We have a lot of hard costs on this end to distribute the show, produce the show, and put it out there for you. So we ask for your help by becoming an EPP, an extra podcast person. We're doing our best to make it worth your while by giving you a bonus episode every single week with some of the best stories we can find. Also, exclusive video content, including our new monthly video feature, Seeing Ghosts, where we examine some of the best ghost photos and discuss them that we get into the show here at Real Ghost Stories Online. All I ask is that if you listen to the show on a regular basis, please consider helping support keeping it on the air. It's only $5 a month, or sign up for a full year at a time and get 1 month free. If you already are an EPP, thank you very much. If you're not yet, please consider supporting a show that you enjoy so we can continue creating it for you. Sign up at realghoststoriesonline.com. Click Become an EPP. And thank you.
Welcome to Real Ghost Stories Online. Call in your real ghost story now at 855-853-4802 or write in at realghoststoriesonline.com. You are about to enter the world of the unknown and quite possibly the undead. This is Real Ghost Stories Online.
And on today's episode of Real Ghost Stories Online, two sisters finally share with each other experiences with a shadow person that seem to coincide. Also, an apartment in a former doctor's office may still have entities looking for help. A ghost of a grandfather begins to appear after a Ouija board session, only there's something sinister about him. Plus, a toddler still finds that he's able to play toys with his deceased brother. Those stories, your calls, and more today on Real Ghost Stories Online. Tony and Jenny Brewski joining you once again.
Hi.
Hi, how are you?
I'm good. How are you?
I'm good. I was gathering up photos for the Seeing Ghosts episode earlier, and we got some spooky ones.
Okay.
And by the time this thing airs, it should probably be out or very close to being out.
Mm-hmm.
So I want to let everybody know, all of our EPPs know to be looking for that. Of course, there's already like four or five of those episodes out there from the past couple of months, but the new one will be out sooner, or if it's already out, I don't know, but right around that time period.
Okay.
It's good stuff. There's some real creepy ones. There's one where I guess it's just like somebody doing a selfie. Mm-hmm. You know, it's weird for me because, and probably you too, where we didn't really, you know, sit around and take 1,000 pictures of ourselves when we were, you know, younger or kids, and you know how the selfie thing is.
Mm-hmm.
But that's just such a normal thing now. So I question photos where there's like a selfie and then there's like something in the background.
Uh-huh.
But that's just me going, well, why would you take a photo of yourself like that? Because everyone does.
Everyone does. But,
yeah,
you know, we're of the generation where you just take a photo of yourself with somebody.
Yeah.
You know, where a selfie to us wasn't like a thing. It was just,
wasn't even a term.
Let's hold the camera out, smile, you know, because there's multiple people.
Yeah. Yeah. It wasn't just 500 pictures of yourself with different poses.
I hate pictures of myself anyway, so I'm just not a selfie fan.
So anyway, it was weird because I was looking at that photo going, that's just weird that they would take that light. But it's like, oh, well, it's a selfie, you
yeah.
know, and it happened to catch something. It's a real creepy image face, very clear that for whatever reason, it kind of illuminated itself kind of red.
Ooh,
in the background.
Yeah.
And it's just, it's got this just weird, I don't want to say demonic, but it's along those lines as far as the look to it. I mean, or it could just be a scary looking person. I don't know. But when you're talking about a ghost that shouldn't be in a photo and it looks really scary. Anyway, it's going to be in the new episode of Seeing Ghosts, which you can get if you're an EPP. Sign up on the website, realghoststoriesonline.com, to get in on that. Let's go to our first story of the day. It comes into us from Monica. And Monica writes, "Hi, guys. I have a story from just last year. I live with my parents, and we moved into our current home around 10 years ago. It's a new build and a new community, so we are the first family to live there. We have all experienced something paranormal in our last house, so we are pretty open when it comes to all things paranormal. I and my sister have our bedrooms right next to each other. We share a wall. One night, we went to bed, and everything was normal as usual. I then woke up sometime in the middle of the night. Not sure what time exactly, but it must have been at least 2 a.m. or later. It was still dark outside, and for some reason, I looked towards my closet and bedroom door. It's not something I do since it's towards my feet. I sleep on my side or stomach, so it's not like me to look that way. Well, on this night, I did. What I then saw was a figure of a man standing near my closet, not looking at me, but at the wall. He stood there for a couple seconds and started walking towards the wall and went right through it into my sister's room. I was pretty freaked out because I've never seen an actual figure like that before. I put my head under the blanket and said a quick prayer and eventually fell back asleep. Usually when something paranormal happens to me or my family, we tend to keep it to ourselves for a while. I don't know why, but I think we're a little scared to say it aloud. Well, later that week, I decided to say something when we were eating dinner. I brought it up pretty casually when my sister then said she had something similar happen to her. Come to find out, it happened on the same night. So when the shadow man left my room, he in fact walked right into my sister's room. She said she woke up because there was a weird feeling in the room. She was scared to look around, but the atmosphere did not feel normal to her. When she lifted her head from the bed, she saw the same dark-figured man standing in her room looking towards the wall, never looking at her. After a couple seconds of him standing in her room, he started walking towards the wall and into the next room, which is a loft area. No one was in that room that night. She said she got scared and put her head under the blanket as well. It was pretty crazy that we both had this same experience the same night. It hasn't happened to us since, but I do wonder if the shadow was just passing by, trying to find his way to somewhere else. He never looked at us, so I don't think it had anything to do with us personally. I'd like to hear your opinions about this. Thanks for taking the time to read my story. Love your guys' show. I listen every day. Keep up the great work. Monica."
You know, I understand it's a new build and a new area, but what are the chances that this is maybe built on top of where there was once a home? And this ghost is just going about the layout of that former home?
That's kind of what it reminds me of. You know, we have the stories of them seemingly sometimes walking elevated in the air, or like this, where it's walking through a wall. I could very well see that, because they still seem to sometimes be playing by their rules of physicality from their time, and that's kind of
Well, and it didn't seem that he even noticed them, nor had any interest in them, and he just kept going on through the walls.
He's just there.
Yeah. So I just kind of think maybe that might have something to do with it.
Be interesting to find out the answer to that. She should look into that and let us know. That's an interesting story. Thank you, Monica, for sharing that with us. The phone number, of course, 855-853-4802. Share your real ghost stories with us here at Real Ghost Stories Online. Victoria writes in, "Hello, my name's Victoria. I live in California. I've had quite a few experiences throughout my life. My dad's pretty sensitive, and my mom can be too, and I think the ability to be sensitive can be passed on. One of the most dramatic experiences I've had was about 3 years ago. It was a weekend, and I woke up around 10 a.m. that morning to close the curtains next to my bed and lay down for a bit longer. I got back under the blankets, messed around with my phone, and then fell back asleep. I don't remember what I was dreaming, but I started to feel a pressure on my chest while I was asleep that made me wake up. I woke up to a series of things happening right on top of me. As soon as I woke up, I could hear a voice or voices speaking to me. I could never make out what it was saying, but it was pretty loud. I leaned up on my shoulders in bed. As soon as I woke up, all of this that was happening, and I could tell that the air or space in front of me was warped. It wasn't normal. It was thick, and my blanket right on top of me and my stomach was being moved, too. This happened for at least 5 seconds, which is a long time in ghost land. I like to mention that I wasn't paralyzed when this was happening. I leaned up, just was so confused and amazed, and I watched it all happen until it stopped. I really think that I became vulnerable to psychic attacks like this when I forget about spirituality and go months on end without praying or asking for protection. I always take time during the day, or at least at the end of the day, to thank my ancestors and my angel for their protection, and I really would feel sad to forget about them again.
You know, they're right. 5 seconds is a ton of time when you're talking about a ghost, because that's enough time to blink a couple times and realize that, yeah, this is really happening.
Yeah.
This isn't just a fleeting thing where you can write it off. And I think it's interesting that to find a correlation between not keeping up with their spirituality and the attacks. It makes me wonder if there's something going on where in that place, in that home, where if they don't do that regularly, that it does come back.
Like it's kind of warding it off or keeping it at bay.
Right. And it's not so much, I would think, all the time, but maybe just where she is.
I could see that. That's a very weird state to be in, right? When you wake up, and I'm glad that she clarified and said I wasn't paralyzed. Because my first thought, well, this could be a sleep paralysis situation, but she's moving around and about, and she's physically seeing these abnormalities.
Right.
Yeah. Good or bad, I don't want that.
No.
Anyhow. 855-853-4802. Becca writes in, hi, I'm Becca, and I live in Fond du Luvia, Wisconsin. That's what we always called it. Fond du Lac, Wisconsin. That's my hometown. I moved to Wisconsin about 5 years ago for college, and the first summer I lived in a small area near Plymouth, Wisconsin, near my college with two close friends. Lovely antique stores there.
Yeah.
We've been there.
Yeah.
Yes. I've taken you. I think they have cheese there, too, don't they?
Well, that's where we got that little tray, that little cheese dish thing that you keep on your nightstand.
Yes. And it says Plymouth on it. Yes. Very close. We found the first and cheapest apartment and moved in. The landlord was creepy as all hell and super into history and liked to share pointless info with us. The apartment she had us in was in a house that was about 150 years old. It was creepy, but had character, and we loved it. My friends each had their own rooms, and I slept on a futon in what would have been the dining room. After signing the lease, the landlord told us that it used to be a doctor's office. We didn't think much of it because it was a roof over our heads. Well, a lot of weird things happened to me. I didn't think too much of it because I'm sensitive to the spirit world, a trait I've inherited from my mother, and I was used to odd things happening to me. But this was the scariest thing that had happened to me. First, you should know the general layout of the apartment. The door was in the back of the house. When you walked in, you entered the kitchen. There's a door that's to the left room, the dining room. You had to enter the dining room to get into any room in the house after the kitchen. The bathroom had its own hallway off the dining room. My roommates and I all worked different shifts, and no one was ever home alone for long. But this weekend, we all went out of town. It was the first return to, and I was the first to return, and well, we all hated to stay there alone. I figured one night wouldn't be too bad. I'd done it before, so it wasn't a big deal. When I got home, I unlocked the door, closed it, locked it, and double-checked the door before I dropped my stuff onto my bed and ran to the restroom. I noticed that it was really cold in the apartment and didn't think anything of it at the time, even though it was odd because it was the middle of summer and we didn't have AC. So I'm calmly using the restroom when I heard a loud smack on the bathroom door. Sounded like someone slapped the door. It had that hollow sound that only a palm of a hand can make. Regardless of what it sounded like, it made me jump, and the door slowly started to open on its own. Now, if I was having any issues using the restroom, I didn't anymore. I tried to keep my cool and pulled the door the rest of the way open to see nothing. So I yelled to see if my roommates were home, even though I know they weren't, because the floors were creaky and old and I would have heard them. At this point, my stomach is in my feet, and I have the feeling in my heart, throat, that I normally have when there's a presence around me. I quickly finished in the restroom and sped down the hall, but stopped at the dining room while my heart sank deeper as I noticed that the main door was wide open. Now, I made sure that the door was closed and locked. I hate being home alone, and that is something I'm very careful of. I quickly grabbed my keys and shoes, locked the door on the way out, and sat in my car until I contacted a friend on campus, about 2 miles down the road, who said I could crash in her dorm. I went to campus to pick her up and bring her back to my apartment with me to grab a few things. When we were back at the apartment, it was normal, hot and muggy. I didn't stay there that night or ever again by myself. That wasn't the only creepy thing that happened at that apartment. We often shared stories about how odd things would happen while the others were gone. One roommate would hear her name said when she was alone. The other would have her objects move around. I'd hear someone walking past my futon all night and breathing down my neck. I even once had someone grabbing my legs and tucking me in at night, even to the point when my medium friend had told me after that we have moved out that the apartment was crawling with creepy shit. But that's a different story. Anyway, that's one of my many stories. I love your show. Started listening about a week ago and hope to become an EPP very soon. Love you guys and your story. Sorry if this is so long.
I don't even know where to begin on what could be causing that place to be haunted. As far as the doctor's office
and
the
being
150 years old, you know, there's any number of multiple things that it could be all at once.
Yeah.
I'm glad it was just an apartment. They weren't stuck there.
And it sounds like it's a conscious entity. If it's whispering names and you know, interacting with people, it's not just, you know, the run-of-the-mill, oh, these are the things that are going through their motions.
Interrupting potty time.
Exactly. Mm-hmm. Yeah. I mean, they're physically somewhat interacting with the actual environment. Yeah. When you got a building like that, can it ever not be haunted? That's my question.
I don't know how often you would have to cleanse it, spiritually,
mm-hmm.
for it to not be. And I think it'd be one of those things where it's not once and done. I think it's like an ongoing thing.
Like you need a subscription service where they just come out and they regularly clean.
Yeah, I kind of think so.
There you go. That's a new business idea. instead of like a cleaning service for like home cleaning,
mm-hmm.
it's a home ghostly cleansing service. And you go to the home and you sage it and you do whatever, you know, salt or, you know, there's, you can create a service plan.
Uh-huh.
Like, would you like, you know, the carpets cleaned today? You know, all these different things you can do to really, really cleanse a home. You can do about the square foot. Now that's an idea.
Okay.
Can you imagine what that vehicle wrap would look like when you're driving around? Like something, I'm thinking like kind of Exorcist lettering,
uh-huh.
you know, but in a more, you know, Stanley Steamer sort of way.
Gosh. Okay.
I don't know. It could be that'd be an interesting service. I wonder if one exists. And inevitably, we'll get an email from someone going, hey, look, this exists.
Yeah, we will.
You probably need like a fairly large area to do it in, though, because mm-hmm. I can imagine, or at least a very active area, mm-hmm. maybe like New Orleans or something that yeah. would work out well. I don't know. Interesting. Next letter, Tony. Hi, Tony and Jenny. This is Tony in Albuquerque. I want to write in and share a story with you. This happened when I was about 9 years old and living in my parents' house. My brother and sister and I decided it'd be fun to play with a Ouija board. We got out the board, did normal stuff that you do when you're a kid and have a Ouija board. We asked questions about silly things, asked it who it was, when did they die. We all laughed and thought it was fun. Until the lamp that hung from a chain in our living room started to swing back and forth rather violently. This, of course, scared the shit out of us. Then we decided to put the Ouija board away. A couple nights after this happened, I started to sleepwalk and would find myself in the same living room that we were playing on the Ouija board fully awake. I would hear my grandfather's voice from behind a long curtain. I'd draw the curtain away, and there stood my grandfather looking like he was dead with black eyes. He or it but then start laughing hysterically at me and would freak out, and I'd run back upstairs and as quick as I could, jump under the covers and cower there until morning. This continued every night for some 3 to 4 months. At first, I thought I might be dreaming, but I knew I was wide awake. I decided to sneak into my sister's room and retrieve the Ouija board and threw it in the trash. I would no longer sleepwalk after this, but the living room in our home was never the same. Whenever someone came to visit, they'd always say they got creeped out when they were in that room. This could not have actually been my grandfather, as we live in Albuquerque, and he lived in Denver. Well, that's the first story I wanted to share with you. I've been listening to your show now for about a year. Love it, and I'm an EPP. P.S. Hope you like the photo I sent you last week. It's the one of a guy sitting on a couch with a transparent skeletal figure hugging him. I'll write in again to tell you the experiences that happened in that house soon. Thank you for the show, Tony in Albuquerque. I think that was on The Last Seeing Ghosts.
I think it was. I remember you talking about that being a really good one.
Yeah, that was a very, very creepy one. Mm-hmm. And there was so much perspective to it, too, where, you know, it was an arm around him.
Mm-hmm.
So, and you could see it, like, it stopped. You could, there was perspective to it. It wasn't like an overlay where, uh-huh, like, this fog kind of looks like an arm. Is it an overlay on the picture? Is it some sort of abnormality? No, it was physical. You could see it, like, it just wrapped around, and it, as if a physical arm was doing it. So it was a very creepy one.
Well, I would venture to guess that that's not Grandpa that's really hanging out behind the curtains in the living room. Because, mm-hmm, you know, why would somebody's grandfather purposely be sinister unless he was just a bad person, which it doesn't sound like that was his character.
Yeah, I'd have to guess that some sort of door was opened up there with the fun with Ouija board session, and it was taking the form of Grandpa.
Mm-hmm.
As to try and appear to be, you know, safe at first, kind of lure you in, and then, oh shit, it's black-eyed Grandpa.
Yeah.
And not exactly what you want to see hanging out in your living room. Good thing that at least that part stopped. But
right, that was lucky.
It makes you wonder, you know, if something is in fact, though, still lingering there with the fact that other people were saying they were feeling weirdness, mm-hmm, in that living room. Thank you for the story. 855-853-4802 is our phone number at Real Ghost Stories Online. Tim writes in, hey, I just wanted to share my ghost story. My grandfather had passed tragically after an accident that took place at his nursing home. He'd been sick for years and finally passed. In June of 2009, my father and I were returning home from the funeral. It had taken place across the state and took us approximately 5 hours to get home. It was approximately 1 a.m. and the funeral had taken place that same day, and we were worn out from a long day of traveling. We just adopted our dog and had arranged for my aunt to come over and take care of the dog while we traveled to the funeral. We finally made it home, walked into the kitchen, and saw that my aunt had left us a chocolate pie for us to eat. We were hungry from the long drive and decided to have some. As my dad cut the pie, the doorbell went off. My dog loves people, and to keep him from jumping all over our guest, my dad held the dog in place by his harness. I walked to the front door, looked through the peephole. There was nobody there. I opened the door, pushed the screen door open, and saw nothing. Looked at my dad and shrugged and said, "There's no one there." Even my dog looked confused. I remember thinking how unusual it was that someone came to see us that late at night. I went to the side door towards the garage to investigate and saw no one there. My father turned the porch light on and looked around, and there were no footprints on the grass and no evidence that someone had been there. My father described hearing footsteps on the cement porch, but saw no one there. The doorbell had not done that before or since, and we have never had a guest that late at night. I think it was my grandfather saying goodbye, but in any case, it was very strange and creepy.
I thought the story was going to have more to do with the pie.
Somehow the pie is going to be involved.
Yeah.
It's a levitating pie, and it flew across the room and landed on top of the dog.
Or a message written in the pie, or cut into it, and it's really messed up or something. I don't know.
It's like a hand in the pie.
Like, I stopped at pie. That's where I was.
Unfortunately, for you, it was not a haunted pie story.
No, it was not. But, you know, I go back to coincidence, or, you know, my firm belief that everything happens for a reason.
Mm-hmm.
And the fact that this happened that same night, I've got to think somehow it's connected.
Maybe he just wanted some pie.
Yeah.
Maybe the pie is connected. Maybe he just came back for the pie.
I might come back for pie. Yeah.
I think a lot of people would come back for. Would you come back for an ice cream cake?
Only if it's the good one and not the shitty ass one that you got for Valentine's.
Oh, that's a fun line. Only if it's a good one and not the shitty ass one you got for Valentine's.
Well,
trying to be all nice and sweet for the family.
No, you were disappointed too. When you cut into there and there weren't the multiple layers of chocolate and Oreo.
Yeah.
That's just like a raisin cookie.
It really kind of was. It was like, it was vanilla mainly, right? And then what I don't get is when they try and crumble like real cake onto an ice cream cake. Like I think there was like crunched up like red velvet cake, which wasn't crunchy. It was just kind of like softened, odd, stale cake.
Odd bits of red velvet and cheesecake on it.
Yeah. I was not impressed.
No.
They should put a warning label on some of those cakes at the DQ.
You know what I used to do to my brother? Because we'd always get the traditional DQ ice cream cake for our birthdays.
Make cones?
No. No, I would go in and I would cut out the good layers and like put toothpicks in underneath to like support. I'd cut out the chocolate part.
Oh my God.
To where he thought it was still like a good piece, and then it would just kind of collapse.
Mm-hmm. I remember, was that on a television show?
Was it?
It was on some show when we were kids, and it wasn't an ice cream cake. It was a regular birthday cake.
Oh.
And the kids like ate like the interior of the cake, and then they stuffed it, I believe, like with paper towels or something.
Ew.
So it would just, so it'd stay fluffed up, uh-huh. really. And then, like, when they cut into it, then they... I'm trying to remember if this was, like, on Growing Pains or if this happened at, like, my cousin's house.
I don't know.
Because I could see it happening either direction.
Either place.
I just, I have this mental image of this, and I know it happened at some point in time, either on a television show or in real life.
Mm-hmm.
I don't remember exactly. But there you go.
I want an ice cream cake for my birthday.
Okay. Get you a nice, lovely vanilla... red velvet one.
No.
They don't label them very well.
Yeah.
You got to kind of guess. Yeah. What I should just do is go to the freezer, stick my finger in each of the cakes until I make, oh, this one has chocolate. Okay, I'll take this one.
Ew.
Like, why are there holes in all of these cakes?
That could be so bad.
Rachel writes in, hello, Tony and Jenny. It's Rachel from Austin again. Over the last several years, I have had several strange things happen to me. I experienced poltergeist activity in my home as a child of 10 or 11. I think I told you guys about these experiences. I saw a table jumping up and down off the floor until it reached the ceiling, and once I woke up with the bed violently shaking. In the last several years, I've had some weird things happen to me. Some of them are poltergeist-like events. I watch the doors of my armoire open violently twice. One of my cats likes to get up there, but the doors are already slightly open. When she jumps out, they never open as forcefully as the two times I've seen it happen. Another thing that happened that has me baffled is that one night I went to go in the bathroom and found the door not only shut but locked. I live alone, and unless I have company, I never shut the door. I never lock the door and close it behind me. I thought maybe a footstool I had near the door had fallen down and was blocking the door. I got down on my stomach, looked under the door, and the footstool was not blocking the door. I tried to take the knob off the door to open the door, and I still couldn't get it to open. I called the maintenance guy at my apartment complex to replace the lock. I've had my closet door open during the night when I know it was shut at night. One of the most unsettling things that has happened is several times when I had laid down to take a nap but wasn't asleep yet, I'd hear a male voice whispering in my ear, but I couldn't make out what it said. Both times it happened, I would just sit straight up, look around. These events both happened in broad daylight. It freaked me out. I've heard many, many times that animals can often sense things we can't see. My cat, the same one who likes to get in the armoire, began staring intently at the corner near the front door. She stared for several minutes, and then she hissed loudly and ran out of the room. She'd never done that before and has never done it since. I've been going through some very difficult times, and I wonder if that has had anything to do with it. I've heard many times that poltergeist activity is caused by a living agent. Usually it centers around a teenage girl whose hormones and emotions cause objects to move. That might explain what happened to me as a young girl, but what about now? Surprisingly, things moving don't scare me anymore, but someone or something whispering does freak me out. It seems someone or something is trying to get my attention. Wish I knew someone who is sensitive enough to give me some answers. I smudge my apartment and use sea salt around the perimeter of my apartment, and it always feels lighter. Sorry this is so long. I love the show, and am an EPP.
Well, I think if you're going through a hard time, even if you're not a teenage girl at the time, or even teenage boy, that you can still have a spike in activity.
Mm-hmm.
And a talking, whispering ghost isn't necessarily like the poltergeist type activity that you usually associate with the teenager stuff.
Mm-hmm.
So I think either you've got a different type of entity or more than one.
I would agree.
Okay.
I would agree. I have nothing really to add. I think you're dead on. You described all of that very well.
Thank you.
I was going to say some of that, but...
Sorry.
You did a good job.
Thanks.
You get an ice cream cake for your birthday.
Awesome.
Congratulations. Janelle writes in, This is my first time telling a paranormal situation to anyone. I always kept these things in because I thought if I talked about it, more would come. But after listening to your show and other callers, well, it gave me the push I needed. Okay, my story is one of many I have. I'll start with one of the early ones. When I was around 6 or 7, I'd sleep pretty heavy for a kid, but sometimes my parents fought in the morning and would wake me up. I hated that. I could hear their yelling and cussing so loudly. I would wish I was somewhere else. I'd turn my back to the door, try to ignore the fighting. Whenever their voices increased, I felt something weird in my room. I didn't see anything at the time, and it also was getting cold just around the bottom of my bed. My feet would feel as if they had been on ice-cold tile floors, yet I'd been in bed and there was no central AC in my house. Anyway, that weird feeling would go away when the yelling stopped, and so would the cold. Well, one morning, something more happened. Again, I was awoken by the fighting, and instead of turning around trying to go back to sleep, I quickly realized my sheets were sliding off of me. Now, I had a small twin bed, typically 4-post white little girl bed. My sheets were very thin, and I could feel it getting gently pulled down towards the foot of my bed, and then I felt the coldness on my feet. It was just like a breeze of cold air, but it stayed by my feet, not moving. The room had a different vibe, like hateful, spiteful, just mean. This happened for about a minute before I just threw my sheets off me and scooted myself to the head of my bed and screamed. My mom came in to see me just curled up at the head of my bed and my sheet in the heap on the floor by the foot of my bed. I didn't tell her anything, even though my mother is not aware or unaware of the paranormal. I think I was just still in shock. I said I saw a bug on my sheet and threw it. When she left, I followed quickly and stayed in the living room for a while after. When I did get enough courage to go back into the room, it felt normal. Whatever was there had gone away. Well, that was my first time yelling or telling anyone. I love the show, you guys. I am planning on becoming an EPP soon. Have a great one.
I don't think talking about these things brings more things out. I think, you know, if you talk about it and you think that it's going to, I would just say try it. You know, mm-hmm. I don't know that there's much to lose for just trying it.
If it's already going on,
mm-hmm.
Yeah, at that point, really, what do you have to lose? I mean, we have had some evidence of issues of trying to get the story out and it not being able to get out.
Yeah.
Like the phone calls dropping, emails not getting through, you know, weird things like that.
But that's from ongoing.
Yeah.
Things that are going on.
Yeah. That seems to be the extent of it.
Mm-hmm.
And that it seems to be in a current active situation, but going back and recounting an older, what seems to be somewhat done situation seems to be fairly safe.
Yeah.
I would think so.
We're hoping.
Never say never. There you go. Miguel writes in, so at the end of January, I was driving back home from work along with my coworker who I carpool with every other day. It was Friday, and it was about 11:20 p.m. We're driving from Pahrump, Nevada to Las Vegas, where we both live. If you drive here, you'll notice that the highway is a lonely, dark, two-lane road and is nothing but desert. We always stop by the Chevron that's on the corner between the two highways, 159 and 160, to get coffee, especially right now that it's really cold in Nevada. So this night, before we got to the Chevron, we noticed a woman walking down the highway. We never saw her face clearly, but she was wearing what seemed to be a white scrub, and her hair was really black, almost a shiny black. I and my coworker found it to be really odd that a female would be walking on the highway alone on a road that's so isolated. We're about 6 minutes away from the gas station, so when we got there, we decided to wait and see if she passed, see if maybe she needed a lift, with it being so late and so dark. So we waited and waited, and she never passed by. No cars had passed by, and we didn't have any cars behind us, nor noticed any cars going towards Pahrump. We decided to hit the road back to see if we saw this person, and we drove to where we had seen her, and she was nowhere to be found. There's no way she could have gone east or west because it was nothing but desert. There isn't anyone she could have gone anywhere she could have gone. Not the type to believe in ghosts, but this really confused me. My coworker started to become really pale, and I told him that if he was okay, and he told me that he couldn't explain what happened, and the hairs in his head stood up. 2 days later, we had another job to do in Pahrump. We stopped by the same gas station to get energy drinks and explained to the cashier what had happened to us, and so that this time was the third time he had heard the same story, and no one could explain where she goes. Any thoughts? What this might be.
I think it's the ghost of a woman on the side of the highway.
I would gather to think that that might be the case.
But as far as why, I don't know. I do find it very interesting that the gas station attendant has heard that story before.
Mm-hmm.
But I don't know.
I think it's Art Bell on his roof with a hologram machine just screwing with people. That's what it is.
Think so?
That's where he lives, so.
Oh, I didn't know that.
Yes, so that's what I think it is. I think it's he's doing that.
Okay.
He's bored. He's like, oh, let's get the, no, I don't know. There are some really cool things out there now as far as trying to create holograms. I mean, you can't do this. You can't, like, just shoot it out there and, you know, there it is walking down the road. But I've seen it at many Halloween stores, and with little projectors being so cheap, you know, you could easily create some really cool effects in your house for Halloween where they've made, you know, DVDs and videos of essentially what looks like a ghostly person floating around, and then you project that through the projector just directly at your window in the dark, and then it looks like you got a ghost floating in your window. It makes me wonder, you know, how many times, you know, how often is that going to happen, and it's going to be a false report of a ghost because it looks so real and nobody knows what the hell they're seeing. I mean, it's one thing if you're doing it in Halloween season, mm-hmm. you can write it's but, you know, it's somebody walking through, you know, some neighborhood in May, and that's in the window.
I could see some kids doing that. They get a hold of it and they play with it year round.
Well, I could see our kids doing that.
Oh, of course.
And just sitting there waiting and watching for some other neighborhood children or people to walk by and just laughing hysterically.
Mm-hmm.
That would be funny.
They'll wait for the ice cream man to come down the street and they'll scare the shit out of him.
I would probably assist in some of that mischievous activity.
Yeah.
If they ever want to do that. That would be fun. Autumn writes in to the show, "Hey, Tony and Jenny, it's Autumn. Something just happened and I've got to get your opinion. After a long day at work, I decided to hop in the shower like any average zookeeper would, and I immediately got this terrible, uneasy feeling. I ignored it because, well, I'm me and I never trust my own instinct. But anyway, I was standing under the warm water when from the corner of my eye, I saw this black figure peeking in the shower. Of course, I jumped, turned to face it, but it was gone. The shower curtain swayed. I looked out to make sure there wasn't some creep in my house, but the bathroom door was still locked. I cautiously went back to the shower, but no more than 10 seconds later, the warm water soon turned icy cold. I turned off the shower, got out of there. Now, of course, the water changing temperature could have been just something else, as I do have housemates who could have been using another water source, but please do share your opinion. P.S. I apologize for any spelling or grammar errors. I'm writing this on my smartphone because I just had to try to share what happened ASAP.
Well, kudos for sharing that as soon as it happened.
Mm-hmm.
I think it's another one of those ghosts. The shower ghost, you know, where you feel like you're either being watched or you see a shadow of somebody. And I think it has something to do with the water.
Being like a conduit?
Yeah.
Yeah. The only thing that would... do you think it would increase during a lightning storm? They always say don't take a shower when it's lightning.
Right.
Is that true? Is it a good...
That's what they say.
Has anyone ever been electrocuted in their shower?
I don't know, but I just don't do it.
Yeah. I err on the side of caution.
Yeah.
I'm just trying to think of all the things that could be playing at the same time that could increase the odds
mm-hmm.
of something happening.
I don't know.
Interesting story. Thank you for sharing that. Samantha writes in, "Hi, Jenny and Tony. Started listening to your show around the first of the year, and within a couple of days, I was hooked and became an EPP. Instead of binge-watching Netflix, I binge-listened to your show in EPP episodes. My story begins in the fall of 2012. My 2-year-old son, Liam, passed away due to a tragic accident. As expected, our family felt as though we were in a bad dream and couldn't wake up. My first experience came when my then 3-year-old son, he never seemed to be real upset. I assumed it was because he had just not understood the situation. One day I decided to ask him about it, and he stated, 'Mommy, why would I miss Liam? He's right here and I still play with him.' As he grew older, he seemed to have less and less of these experiences and began to find comfort in knowing his brother was safe in heaven with God. My own experience came one night a couple weeks after Liam's death. I was having a difficult time sleeping and was extremely hot. Went into my children's room to sleep in the loft bed as it was close to the ceiling fan and would feel more comfortable. At some point in the night, something woke me up. I looked to the end of the bed where the steps were and saw Liam standing there smiling and waving at me. I felt a blanket of peace and comfort come over me. When I reached for him, he disappeared. This experience has helped me greatly in the healing process. One more experience came this past summer and was on social media watching a very emotional video about a parent who lost her child. I, of course, turned it off and was crying. Within a couple of moments, my phone rang. The number coming up was from the town we had moved from, and when I answered, I heard a little voice say, "Hi, Mommy," and then hung up. This very well may have been a coincidence, however, I felt this was my child reaching out to me, knowing I just needed to hear his voice at this time. Thank you for taking the time to read my story. Look forward to your next episodes. Keep doing what you're doing. It's so fun to listen to. Thank you again, Sam.
That is so sad, and I'm so sorry. And I don't know what I would say as a parent if my other child said that he's still playing toys with his little brother.
Yeah.
You know,
and on the phone call thing, That could be one of those situations where, I mean, it could be a ghostly phone call that does, we've heard that before, so that I'm not ruling that out, but it could also be one of those things where everything happens for a reason, and for whatever reason, the world knew that you needed to get to hear that and have that experience, and for whatever reason, it made a child in that town dial the wrong number, thinking he was calling his mom and said that and then hung up, but it all worked out to bring comfort at that time when you needed it.
Right.
So it's hard to say there, but it could very well be either, but both still on the realms of something paranormal going on.
Yeah.
So very, very sad story. Thank you for sharing those experiences with us here at the show. 855-853-4802 is our number at Real Ghost Stories Online to share your experiences with us. Let's go to a caller. Hi.
Hi, Tony and Jenny. This is Piper outside of San Antonio, Texas. Last night something happened when I was looking through some photos on my phone. I was scrolling through the photos and they were different pictures of my pet cat. And in between a picture was a cat and this blob and a cat. And I looked at the blob a second and it filled up the entire frame. It was kind of, imagine, my first thought was hippopotamus color. Like if you were to look at the nose of a hippopotamus with the little pink nostril kind of at the bottom and the same kind of mottled coloring. And I thought, wow, how did I get that? Is that my hand? Is it the inside of my purse? And the more I looked at that photo, the more different, I guess, it became. The pink part could almost have been an eye. It looked just really weird. And then inside the actual color, it was black and gray and kind of brown. The blacker colors seemed, then I could kind of see like a skull, like the eyes, teeth sort of thing. And I kind of didn't want to see that, so I looked a different place on the photo, and then it was a kind of demonic looking face, like open and a mouth open. And once again, I didn't really want to see that because I've seen things like that before and I just don't look anymore. So I stopped looking and I scrolled backward and there was my cat, and I scrolled forward and there was that dark picture, and I scrolled again forward and there was my cat. So I went a couple times and I just stayed on that black one. And then I realized that at the bottom of the phone where it shows the little thumbnail, that photo, the black one, that was not there. When I would scroll through the pictures on the thumbnails, the photo I was actually looking at did not show up in the thumbnail. And I thought that I would go, and I wanted to open the entire gallery and see what I had. So I opened that gallery, and that photo wasn't in there. It was just the pet cat and the different things. So I went back into the main photo viewer to go back and find it, and it was gone. It was pet cat. There was nothing. Then I also realized that those two photos of the pet cat had been taken last month, probably. I couldn't get a new photo in between those if I'd wanted to. So I kind of classified that as a paranormal, if not just at least a weird sort of experience. And I almost called you guys last night But I just want to think about it. I want to think about it just a little bit. Thanks for listening to the story, and I hope to call you with more soon. Bye.
The camera acting up kind of stuff, you know, where mm-hmm. now there's a picture, now there's not, or, you know, things happening like that. I have to think there's something influencing the technology.
Mm-hmm.
What do you think?
Yeah, when you have, I mean, number one, things do mess up. That,
sure.
that does, of course, happen. But then when you have, like, evidence of something paranormal and then suddenly it's not there anymore or things of that nature, yeah, you have to wonder, you know, what are the odds of this glitching right now, especially if it's not a common thing
mm-hmm.
to happen. It's one thing if your phone is constantly screwing up, you're like, this damn thing, it's, you know, you could write that off to any consistent device. Yeah, I think there's something influencing that, so to speak. Thank you for sharing that story with us, Piper. Let's go to another caller here. Let's go to Eric in New Jersey and hear your real ghost story.
How you doing, Tony? My name's Eric Vitale. I live in a small town in New Jersey called Rocheville Park. I have many, many stories. First off, I love your show. I listen to it every night at work. I work in a grocery store, and I listen to it all night while I pack out shows. It's a great show. I think what you and your wife are doing is amazing. I have many stories, like I said, so let me just pick one real quick. Also, I would real quick, you mentioned Amityville a lot. Been there twice, but the first story I would like to tell you is about my mother. It was before I was born. My mother and father were high school sweethearts, and they lived in an apartment before they lived in the house where we all live in now. We're a tight Italian family, and what happened was my father left for work one morning, and my mom was in the apartment alone by herself. And she felt a presence as if someone was in bed with her still, but my father had already left for work. She stood there for a little while. She was scared, and she heard a voice say, "Pretty lady." No one was in the apartment. It was just my mother. She went on to find out that a man hung himself in that apartment prior to my mother and father moving in. I don't know how prior to them moving in, but there was a suicide and a man did hang himself. That's one of many stories. I don't really know what else to say about that. She lived in an apartment, a guy hung himself. If you want to hear any other cool stories, I've been to Amityville a couple of times. I met Lorraine Warren a week ago. I witnessed phenomenon happen in a room filled with 200 people. When a little girl actually bumped into the case that Annabelle was in, the lights started to flicker above the case, and about 200 people witnessed that. Anyway, if you want to share this on your show, be my guest. I will definitely call again. Thank you for everything. You got a real great show. What you're doing for the paranormal community is just, it's amazing. So, Tony, thanks a lot. You and your wife, awesome. Hopefully I'll talk to you in the future. Have a great day.
Thank you for sharing that that story and experience with us.
Finding out that somebody killed themselves in your apartment is never something you want to hear.
Yeah, that's not usually something they're going to advertise.
No.
And when you find it out, it's kind of like, oh, and how long did I sign that lease for?
Mm-hmm.
I wonder, do you have to disclose that in an apartment? I don't believe you do.
I don't think on an apartment.
When I first moved here to Wichita about 10 years ago, there was an apartment complex that I went into, and I probably have shared this story like 100 episodes ago or something, but it was it looked nice. I booked it online. I set it up online because I was living hundreds of miles away, and I needed to have it set up so when I got here I was ready to go. So I did my research the best I could.
Yeah.
And really nice community, nice place. You know, nothing. You know, I didn't feel like I was going to be, you know, scared. And I really wasn't the whole time I lived there. But right after I moved in, and I went over to, I believe it was like the Best Buy to get a washer or dryer or something. Mm-hmm. And I'm like, where are you delivering that to? And I said, well, you know, the so-and-so apartments. Oh, did they ever find the lady's head? This is what the Best Buy employee asks me. I'm like, what? Oh, yeah. Some woman was cleaning one of the apartments and she got beheaded and they never found the head.
That's not... Yeah. I mean, what could be the worst thing somebody could say to you? And I think that's it.
I think that's... We'll always rank up there with like one of the worst things you're going to hear when you're buying a washer and dryer.
Yeah.
I mean, like, what? And just so, it was very nonchalant almost. Mm-hmm. And I'm like, they think it might be in the bottom of the lake. Like, oh, that lovely little lake that I like to walk around that I thought was kind of peaceful. Now I'm always going to wonder if there's a head in it.
No, that's the first place they look.
And they didn't, I don't think they found the head.
They didn't find it there.
Did they ever find it?
No.
Still missing.
Still missing, but it was not a random crime.
No.
It was somebody that knew this person. Yeah. Not that it makes it any better, but it wasn't just like a random serial killer
showing up and beheading people
and throwing heads in the lake.
No. I mean, as horrible as that is, it did kind of make me feel a little bit better. But and they caught the guy and all that other stuff. But I, of course, tried to Google this and tried to figure out what apartment this was, and I couldn't find any information.
Mm-hmm.
It was like nowhere to be found, no matter what. And I mean, it just listed the apartment complex, and it's a complex with like 12, 14 buildings. Eventually, after asking around as I got to know some of the neighbors there, I finally did narrow down as to where it was, and I was just happy that it wasn't mine. I was very paranoid over any sort of random stain that was on my carpet, because there was like, you know, they steam cleaned it. They didn't change the carpet when I got there. So you could kind of, you know, it was worn a little bit.
But if somebody is, you know,
decapitated
in an apartment, they're going to change the carpet.
You'd hope.
They change carpets so frequently. Trust me, I used to be in flooring. I know how often apartment complexes change carpet.
Yeah.
That's definitely a qualifier.
It's not just like, well, it's really nice carpet. Could we call Stomatic and get them over here to do it? Or
I don't think that they would even consider that.
Hopefully not. I don't think this one would that I was living in.
There are some that would.
You're right. That's the thing. I mean, it really probably depends on your complex.
Yeah.
And how stingy they're going to be about something like that. But that was a fun time.
The best part would have been if somebody gave you the tour and said, yep, and that stain came right out. Look at that.
And then the folks who delivered it thought they'd be real funny, and they put a mannequin head in my washer.
Not. They did not.
Like, hey. No, I'm kidding.
Jeez.
That would be horrible. That would be like, okay, now I'm going to sue the store.
Yeah.
But no, that did not happen. But the employee did ask me about that. So
Jeez. There
we go. Good times. Yes, fun times for all. That wraps up this episode of Real Ghost Stories Online. Thanks for listening. If you like the show, please consider becoming an EPP. Sign up on the website, realghoststoriesonline.com. You just click become an EPP. It's that easy. $5 a month is all it is, or sign up for a full year and get one of those months for free. That's what fuels this thing and keeps the show on the air. So if you like it, you want to continue on, consider throwing a bit of the kitty each month and supporting it. We do greatly appreciate that. Until next time, for Jenny Brewski, I'm Tony Brewski. Thanks for listening to another episode of Real Ghost Stories Online.
You ever wonder how far an EV can take you on one charge? Well, most people drive about 40 miles a day, which means you can do all daily stuff no problem. Go to work, grab the kids at school, get the groceries, and still have enough charge to visit your in-laws in the next county. But they don't need to know that. And the best part? You won't have to buy gas at all. The way forward is electric. Explore EVs that fit your life at electricforall.org.
Whether it's slots or live dealers, SpinQuest.com has the fun and action you're looking for. With SpinQuest exclusives, blackjack, roulette, baccarat, and even live dice with craps and bubble craps. The games never stop, so you don't have to. And right now, new users get $30 coin packs for just $10. Play now at SpinQuest.com.
SpinQuest is a free-to-play social casino. Void where prohibited. Visit SpinQuest.com for more details.